How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hi.
Tom, let's talk about the fact that you have a really gorgeous tan.
Well, thank you. I am resembling a lovely old handbag at the moment.
A handbag.
Just back. Had a wonderful time, Susie, I got to tell you.
Where did you go?
Spain.
Spain.
And we went to a couple of places, actually. We travelled around a bit.
Staying in different hotels?
We stayed in Uncle John's apartment. Alfie's Uncle John.
Thanks, Uncle John.
Thank you for that. A house, actually. It was lovely. And that was in a place called Cabo Roig, which is just sort of along from Alicante. Don't know my compass. And then we went to, for the day, we went to Benidorm because we thought...
Of course.
Because we like to watch the television programme. And we went there and we thought we might spend maybe a day, maybe a night there. We spent 2 hours. That was enough.
Okay.
It's enough. And then...
Was it quite full on in Benidorm?
Benidorm. It was very full on. No, it was, to be honest, it was very good natured, but it just wasn't maybe our vibe because it was just a lot of topless men. Do you know what? Actually, I kept thinking like, oh, that's a gay bar. And I was like, no, it's just because they're all in groups of stag party lads. They're all bald with their tops off. So it sort of looks like a night in Vauxhall.
Is stag do secretly homoerotic?
Well, maybe that's true. I didn't conduct a survey.
I was about to say I haven't been on a stag, but I have. I went to Josh Widdicombe's stag. Oh. That wasn't homoerotic. It was more 90s vibe.
Yeah, I mean, if anything was going to be nostalgic, it was.
Oh, God. There was nostalgia for the stag party whilst we were still on it.
How true.
So, Tom, what else did you do?
And then we went up to Javier, which is where I spent a lot of my holidays. Not holiday. We went like 2 or 3 times.
Oh, he summered in Javier
as a kid. And so we went there and it was really delightful to go and see where we'd stayed and things. It was at the time a place I think where a lot of people from Bromley just relocated to. I think Rob Beckett went there at one point.
Oh, I see.
But one of those nice Spanishy towns.
Nice. Do they have Bromley bifolds?
They did not, actually. But they did have lovely restaurants, a bit of promenading on the of an evening. And just sort of, yeah, having a lovely walk around, eating some nice food.
Oh, really nice. Did you have some tapas?
We had some tapas. Actually, we had tapas in Benidorm, in Tapas Alley. Went to a
tapas
lovely
alley.
One.
Tapas Alley?
Tapas Alley, whoever she is. Yeah.
Like Tin Pan Alley.
But with potatoes bravas.
I think that potatoes bravas is like wildly differing. Like sometimes it's amazing and sometimes it is sort of chips with two sauces.
Yes, it can be like that. That's so true.
And I find that quite disappointing. Mm. I don't want a bastardized version.
Maybe that's the bravery they talk about, the bravas. I think that's what it means.
Yes, it's potatoes brave.
Brave potatoes. So brave. It was lovely. Very, very nice. I will say, there were some gays in our first location. Mm-hmm. And we knew they were gay because they had snorkels. And they wouldn't say hello to us. I smiled at them. I said hello on one occasion. They didn't say hello back.
How rude. Why?
But maybe they were shy. But I was like, hello.
But no, if you said hello...
And they were British, I think.
Yeah. Tom, worse than them not saying hello, they didn't recognise you.
Well, that's what I'm saying, really.
Yeah,
you know, Suze,
I mean...
What's the point
if gays aren't going to say hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Mm. Ding dong.
Ding dong, what a treat
Avon.
For you. Avon calling, a gay calling. a gay, I should have said, I'm not an a gay.
No, well, neither of us are.
That's our purpose, that's our role in life.
We are be gays.
Be gays. We're very much be to gays.
Be to gays. Or we encourage more people to be gay.
Be
gay. Well, I'm so sorry you weren't recognised. I imagine you were recognised in Benidorm.
I did. A lovely, lovely man came and said hello, which was very nice. No, it was very nice. All of it was very nice. One thing I have noticed though, Susie.
I'm not Spain. I'm Susie. Go on.
Also, I should caveat this with our flight was delayed. We didn't get in until 3:30 in the morning. And we're now recording
this at 9-ish. Yeah, so you've had four or five hours sleep?
Yeah.
So do you feel a bit
out of it, yeah.
Sure.
But, in a good way. But I wanted to say that I do find, I don't know if any of our listeners connect with this, the advent of the portable speaker has really changed beach life.
I feel like you've spoken about this before. You do know that.
I know. I've realized that now as I'm saying it.
But that's like, okay.
But everywhere there's noise. And you know, when you're trying to relax, and like, I love the sound of the waves.
Yes.
Because it sounds like somebody breathing and it's very calming.
What, just like... if you think that sounds like someone is breathing, that sounds like a death rattle. Let me tell you, you need to work in palliative care.
It's calming. I thought. But then people bring their speakers and they'll play music and sometimes it's quite loud. And I think, well, you know, and then also the age is... people don't have earphones in at all, so they'll walk along with their music playing out of their phone.
Unacceptable.
And I want to say, it's a young person thing. At breakfast in the hotel yesterday, there was an older couple and they did a out loud speaker phone call at the breakfast table next to us. And I was like, this is what is happening to us all. We're just like totally unaware of each other. That's what I think it is. Sorry.
I think that's very rude. And I agree. I was in, not Spain, but Manchester.
Oh, very similar.
Very similar. And I stayed over there for a show the other night, a book show. And
this is our next topic of conversation, of course.
Well, of course. And I was with my publicist, Amy, who's very nice. Hi, Amy. I don't think she listens, but it's good for her to be across it. And we were having a very nice dinner at the Manchester Townhouse. Oh. That's where we stayed.
Oh, lovely.
A great hotel. Really nice. Anyway, I was having a piece of cod.
Oh.
With potatoes, not bravas, potatoes, broad beans, maybe that's what we call it. Anyway, there were some people behind us who were watching a video on a social media platform, I imagine.
Yes.
And it was so loud.
Oh.
And I was like, we are in like a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
I am having a nice glass of Chablis.
Of course.
And I find it impossible to concentrate on a conversation if I can hear.
I mean...
And then they laughed at it. And then someone had been in the bathroom and then they played it again. And it wasn't just like a short, it was like a minute or so.
It's long. And it
create
was
a group, put it on the WhatsApp group or watch the video on the way home.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I just don't get it why you would listen to things out loud in public. I wouldn't get out my television and plug it in a restaurant.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, it's different if you're in a bar and it's busy and there's music and noise. But this was in like, there was like, you know, piano music, not someone playing the piano.
But still.
But through the speakers.
But, you know, obviously they're creating a calming vibe. But I just don't, I think, are we all so unaware of each other? Is it kind of a symptom of like, have we just all become very selfish that we're just like,
that we don't notice?
You just don't notice anybody else is kind of like, what are you doing? Like, there's somebody online, I think, had an experience where they were told to turn off their phone or turn down their phone, and they took umbrage with it on a train, but they were listening to it like TikTok videos or something, watching TikTok video. So obviously that's a really like annoying thing because people are flicking through. Yeah. So you're getting like a clip. And it could be anything. It could be talking about anything. And you go, well, I don't want to listen to your videos.
Wait, and also like it can be explicit. And if people are on there with children or if they're...
People don't
want to hear that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean...
I don't even mean explicit like sexy. I mean like swearing.
Things like that, but people don't care about that. Well, this is telling very. That,
this is anyone listening that could bring back points of view? Because I feel like Tom and I are the perfect bedfellows for points of view.
But I just didn't know. We did find some quiet beaches, but I just was like, everywhere we went, it was like, oh, somebody else has put on.
I think it should be a similar vibe to a library.
Well, that's what like, the whole
you
world
are allowed
should be.
To speak, but do it, you know, do it quietly because people are concentrating.
Well, people are concentrating. Their books. Their books, their tan.
Their tan, all the things.
The breathing.
The breathing.
But that didn't stop it being a lovely trip, I hasten to add. And we had a lovely time. So
very good. And I'm sorry to hear about your very delayed flight.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? We got home. We were lucky to be on holiday. It was lovely.
Sorry, before we get on to the next thing, can I just ask you about the lamp behind you?
Yes, madame.
So is that three lights?
Yes.
With one lampshade?
Well, you know, my role in life is to try and replicate the interiors of the old money.
Yes.
And one of the things I notice they often have is a lamp like that, a bouillotte lamp, I think it's pronounced, made popular in the, I looked it up, so
beginning. Of course.
In the late sort of Victorian era, I think it was slightly more popular in America, probably French by design with the name. And they are a sort of desk lamp almost, or they were actually used for gambling tables because they were kind of a low light with a shade around it. So,
and you've got that gambling problem.
And I do enjoy a little flutter. So for when I'm doing my bingo, I get up my bouillotte lamp. No, I've got that one, but it's, they are nice to have, but they can be very expensive. So I bought that one on the cheap. I don't want to get
on the cheap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pleased to have been across that.
Yeah, thank you for noticing it, though. I appreciate
it. No,
look out for them for the listeners. It's basically three light bulbs within a sort of usually a black or a green shade, which is sort of it's kind of hired or lowered by a stick in the middle. You'll see them now. Whenever you see a period drama, they're in The Crown quite a lot. It was something I thought, look, these posh people have them. I need them.
If the Queen's got one, I should too.
I think I should have one. So I got a knockoff one. But Susie, enough of my chatter. I want to know about how book launch week actually was. Are you delighted with how it's been going?
Yes, I think so. Mm. It's really, I've had some lovely events. I also started my tour. It's been a very full on week.
Indeed.
The starting of a brand new tour, two brand new tour shows and four book events.
Wow. It was quite Suze, a
lot. Yeah. And then lots of press and stuff. And then, of course, they were all over the country. So Manchester, Milton Keynes, Bracknell, London, Brighton.
Oh, I love it.
The five biggies.
Coming down, yeah.
It was. It's been really lovely. Mm-hmm. People seem to be enjoying the book. I feel quite exposed with it being out in the world, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
And...
Well, that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yes. I'm sort of enjoying now that like all of that's done and the show's ready and I'm really enjoying the show. So now I've just got to do the show, which actually by comparison feels quite chill.
Well, I imagine the lead-up time was probably more angst-making than the actual... as is often the case, isn't it?
As is often the case.
But how lovely. And how lovely to hear you say that you're enjoying it. You know?
Yeah.
Because obviously it is a book that talks about anxiety.
Mm.
So, you know, that perhaps is something that could take over. But it sounds like you balance the anxiety very well.
I'm trying to. Mm. I'm really trying to. And I'm determined to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I've worked really hard on it.
Good.
And I'm really hoping that it will connect with people. And I think, you know, hopefully the people that read it will really enjoy it. And that's enough.
Well, I think that is more than enough. And I think as well, the vulnerability you feel, I think, is absolutely natural and is a symptom of something that is well-written and will connect with people. You know, I think that it would be, if you didn't feel any vulnerability about it, you'd be like, it wouldn't be as good as it is.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, you only really learn something when you really take a risk or you take a chance, I think.
How true.
And so I think I've taken, you know, it's not a risk as in, you know, I know I'm going to survive it, but, you know, it feels a big thing for me, but I've really put myself out there. So, I'm really pleased.
Great.
People seem to be connecting with it. I've had some really lovely messages from people and I'm doing, if people are coming along to the tour, I'm doing a signing every show. We're selling books at every single show.
We've got
local booksellers and Waterstones and all kinds of different people coming along to sell the books. And then I come out about, you basically need to have time for me to nip to the loo and sometimes pop a jumper on. And then I go and do a signing and I've met loads of people and I've met loads of like-minded friends. I've met loads of like-minded friends, Tom.
Oh, how lovely. What a nice thing.
It's been so nice.
How nice to have that real world experience as well. I think
IRL.
IRL, as the kids call it.
As the kids say.
Well, you know, with your book, I know you worked so hard and you're writing it, obviously, as any writer does, on your own. And then that feeling of connection, like, oh, people actually, it's not just me across this.
Yes.
It's a lovely feeling, I think.
Yes, I think so. So I feel, yeah, I feel good. And yeah, and having a lovely time on tour. And delighted with, yeah, the tour's selling really well and it's really nice. And yeah, for the first couple of shows to be sort of sold out, and all the ones in June are pretty much sold out. It's a very nice feeling.
Great. Oh, great.
Yeah, I feel very, very blessed.
Blessed. She's so blessed.
I do. I feel blessed. I feel very lucky and very determined to enjoy it. You know,
yes,
sometimes
yes.
I feel like there were parts in years gone by, whether it be a personal thing or a work thing, where I would be so focused on the end goal or what other people thought of me that I didn't enjoy the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's...
So I'm trying really hard to enjoy the thing.
Well, I suppose it's all those things of kind of being present, which I know get bandied around to the point that sometimes they lose their meaning, but that is that, isn't it? It's just kind of going, why waste energy not enjoying it? Do you know what I mean? Why waste energy? I mean, it's easier said than done. I appreciate that.
No, but I think that's true.
You can enjoy it. Just lean into that, Suze. Revel in it. Yeah, swim in it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tom, what else have you got coming up this week?
Well, I've got a nice paced week. I'm trying to get better at pacing. And
As in walking.
You know, we did a lot of walking on holiday. We did nearly 30,000 steps a day.
Clang.
On some days.
Yeah. How's your souls?
My spiritual soul is soaring, but my shoes worn to nothing. Flip flopping away. Flip flopping.
You've got to see a chiropodist.
We did a lot of walking, which was great. Anyway, we're looking forward to trying to keep some of that stuff going, whether we do or not, probably not. But doing some walking whilst we're back. Yeah, so at the time of recording, this is just before my birthday this weekend, which I'm...
Yes. What are you doing for your birthday?
Well, I haven't worked it out.
I'm yet to receive a telegram.
Well, stand by. Stand by.
I'm poised.
And then, because there's always a pressure, isn't there, to do something. So you don't want
to do a thing.
Do a thing. And it's my 42nd. And I thought, what about a 42nd Street themed birthday party? It's quite specific.
It is specific and also quite last minute.
For sure, to assemble an entire cast of tap dancers, I think could take some effort. But look, if it's worth doing, I'll do it.
I think you ought to.
Oh, and Susie, yes. Just to go back into the reflection era, you know my obsession with rotisserie chickens.
Go on.
Well, we were on the way to the airport. We stopped in a place called Mariara. We thought there'll be somewhere that does rotisserie chickens here. Nowhere did. The Spanish rotisserie chickens that I love. Then we were lured along a little pathway with a little bit of disappointment in our hearts. And then we turned up a road. There's a shoe shop. And then we came out of the shoe shop and Alfie was like, oh, this looks like an interesting ice cream shop. And then it was a rotisserie chicken shop.
Thrilled.
Run by a man called Ian.
That's very Spanish.
Very Spanish. Well, we were trying to speak a bit of like, hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Est pollo? And then he was like, yeah, it'll be about 10 minutes if you want it. And he was very nice. We had it on the beach.
Covered in sand.
We sat there. We didn't have anything else to go with it.
We
were on the way to the airport. We hardly had any time. We sat on a bench in front of the sea and between us ate an entire chicken with our hands.
Oh, Tom.
So there were,
Tom,
you know.
Tom.
I know.
This happens... frequency that I feel like you should just carry a fork.
I imagine if I just had a little knife and fork in my top pocket, that'd be quite on brand.
I'd love that for you. Maybe a gold knife and fork.
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Fancy.
Very fancy. It was wonderful, but also
like Henry VIII might.
Yeah.
Tom, I feel like people might see that and think there needs to be an intervention.
And can you imagine a chicken intervention? Yeah. A rotisserie chicken intervention.
It was
wild. It was
delicious.
Wild. Absolutely, yeah.
A whole chicken. Did he?
Between us.
Well, I know. But did he separate, like...
Yeah, he cut it into four, yeah.
And then you were just eating it off the bone.
Yeah, we were just chawing it.
Like a dog might.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to find out what it's called. It was really something.
High protein, though.
Oh, yeah.
For your gains.
Well, that's the thing, you know. People don't realize how hard we have to work to make sure our bodies are perfect.
Yeah, of course.
And it was called... No, it's not coming up. No. Oh, I'm sorry, Ian. I said I'd give you a shout out and then I haven't. Well, we did pay for it as well. He wanted to give it to us free, but we said, no, Ian. He gave us two cans of Coke, though.
Oh, that was kind of him.
Yeah.
I'm pleased that you got your rotisseries.
At least there was some good news. Yeah, exactly.
Finally.
He got the chicken of his dreams. But I did think of you and the listeners when I was so engrossed with that.
When you were gnawing away like a rabid dog on a chicken leg.
Like
on
a rabid dog. Yeah.
In front of the sea in Spain.
Yeah. It's called... I'm going to make sure this is the right one.
Ian's Chicken.
Yeah. It's called Rancho Chicken Churro Box, which is something I've actually been called a lot. Rancho Chicken Churro Box. If you're in the Moraira area, say hi to Ian.
You must.
But it was... There's something about having a rotisserie chicken in Spain. I just love it.
You just love it, Tom. Mm. You just love it.
I just love it. And then we had to go to the airport with chickeny fingers.
Oh, no. Chicken fingers sounds like a sketch group that would have done Edinburgh in 2012.
Absolutely. Absolutely they would. And I think they're doing a show this year as well.
Yeah. Mm. Chicken fingers in the Pleasance upstairs, 4:15. Yeah. Oh, we're 2 for 1 today.
We're 2 for 1. Oh, God love.
God love.
God bless.
I see producer Emma has sent us some emails from the inbox.
Oh. I'm very much excited about this.
Okay, I'm going to read the one Wish You Were Queer.
Please do. And by the way, when we were on holiday, we talked about Judith Chalmers so much.
Tom, you talk about her a lot when you're not on holiday. I feel like you're very pro Judith, which is great.
Yeah.
Right. Dear Detective Inspector Ruffle and her professor, Dr. Allen, I'm here on a train listening to your lovely podcast. Tom is currently talking about a rotisserie.
Oh, God.
We really need to branch out.
We do need to talk about some new things. We just want to be a bit of lightness in your week. Yes.
And you have just issued a call for international correspondence. I feel I can help.
Oh, what a thrill.
All you have to do is go with your gut that Bristol in the West Country is actually a foreign land, a magical and amazing one with an occasional unicorn. Bristol is where this international correspondent resides, which is a commitment when one jobs requires one to bimble along to London twice a week.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. But it's worth it.
Bristol is apparently the home of Carol Vorderman. I've never seen her, but I will keep looking. And Wallace and Gromit. There's something for everyone.
Oh, there really is.
You will, of course, need to know a little about me prior to deciding on my application. So here goes. Mm. Not a priest like Standy, your first IC, but a corporate lawyer. Another profession with deep wells of compassion and charity.
Yes, famously.
No Zucchetto to my name, but I'm not sure you want too many of those in your life because they have a spooky little pointy bit in the middle, which isn't quite right.
Why don't mind a spooky pointy bit?
Well, that's true. Far better to have a motorbike helmet, which is my headgear of choice and enables me to ride around Somerset in leather, pretending to be a mean and tough biker when I'm in fact a bit of an idiot.
I hope this person isn't writing this message whilst on their motorbike.
Yes, I would hope not.
I would hope not. But very skilled affair.
Very skilled. Breakfast of choice, if I really must tell the truth, is a Kit Kat and a cold can of Diet Coke. No!
Goodness.
I appreciate this isn't as Margot Ledbetter as a chive omelette, but it is eminently practical and beautifully branded. We have a buy one, get one free offer at the moment. Accept me as your international correspondent for the West Country and get a small, idiotic border terrier. Border Terrier called Twiglet, totally free of charge, photo attached. You are completely welcome. Oh. A really nice dog. I shall stop with the nonsense, but please do keep doing what you're doing and go from strength to strength. Consider Diet Coke and chocolate for the occasional breakfast. You know it makes sense. I'm a bit concerned I can't pull the see you through the window sign off being several furlongs away from you both, but I can do a bye 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 bye. Love, Jamie, and also Twiglet.
Jamie, what a treat of a letter. Thank you so much for sending
so
that in.
Nice.
How it's lovely. And to remind us of our rotisserie leaning ways.
Indeed.
Now, we have a message here because we did a birthday shout out for one of our, what do we say? It was on the high seas. What would we say about that? A maritime listener.
Yes, that's right.
Dear Susie and Tom, I can't even begin to describe how grateful I am to both of you for reading out my mum Kavita's email last week about my 30th birthday. This is Will, brackets cruise ship singer in Japan. Hi, 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 hi. Listening to you both. Hi, hi, hi. I think they're just saying hello. Listening to you both on the pod has been one of my most fulfilling activities for the past year, and it's definitely brought my mum and I even closer. You were the cherry on top on such an incredible day, and listening to you both. Well, being on the ship has given me the most succulent slice of home. So thank you for be going like you do for all the like-minded listeners out there. Oh, how generous. You're both so inspirational. Oh, well. With your resilience, work ethic, ethics, he's put the S in brackets, and dedication to your art. And we know that working in this industry can be so fulfilling, but also so catastrophically draining at times. Both work through your struggles with such grace. Oh, how kind. Thank you for doing what you do on behalf of all the like-minded friends. We love you, finally. Please, please give the biggest shout out to all of my friends, family and loved ones, brackets, including Karen the cat, for making my 30th birthday the most unforgettable experience of my life. Your like-minded pal Will, B.S., the nephews who my mum wrote about that you perhaps know, Tom, are Kevin and James McCarthy, who I think went to your secondary school around the same time as you. So much love. Bye, 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 bye.
Do you remember either Kevin or James McCarthy?
I do remember the McCarthys, I think. Yes.
Is that McCarthyism? Is that what that's about?
That's what it was about. They were constantly throwing anybody suspected of communism out.
Well, that's good. These things are important.
Yeah, yeah, they were very unusual. Kevin McCarthy, yes. Oh,
you're not thinking of Kevin McCarthy, the stand-up that we both know, are you?
Maybe.
I
might be thinking of Paul McCartney. No, I do remember the McCarthy twins. So please send my best regards to them. I feel like Will as well would be a good person for my 42nd birthday. 42nd Street birthday.
Yes. Will, if you're around, do knit back from Japan. Tom's not sure if he's organising yet.
If you can, we'd appreciate. We'd really appreciate.
But thank you so much for that lovely message, Will.
Oh, Will, what a lovely thing. Keep having fun is my advice.
Oh, that's good. Let's have another one. Hello, Susie and Tom. I had to pause like my friend episode I was listening to. Brackets, they call it the finger crotch, from March 2022. Mm. Just to write to say that my family, who mainly hail from Bucks, sprinkled with some distant Scottish, also use the word frenacapan.
Frenacapan, really?
I appreciate this is in the distant past you, but I have never heard anyone else use this word outside of my family, hence my excitement. I can't believe I'm now one of those people who writes into things. Keep up the good podding, all the buys, Pearl.
Wow, Pearl.
A great name.
My aunt's name.
What does frenacapan mean? Remind me.
It's a bit like Fanny Adams. You know, when you go like, frenacapan up the road.
Oh, sure.
So when you want to say their name, but either you don't know their name, Or you've renamed them because you're slightly irritated by them. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so if it was somebody who has annoyed you, you might call them Fanacaban.
Right, I get it.
I don't know where it comes from, but obviously we're not the only one. So that's great, isn't it?
Any etymologists out there do?
Yes, I love that. Fanacaban. Yeah, my mum says it, so I just assumed it was real.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's like, you know the phrase, it's black over Bill's mother's?
Oh, yes, that's a good one, isn't it?
If the weather's bad, and grey clouds coming in, you'd say it's black over Bill's mother's.
Yes.
And as a child, I thought we knew...
Somebody called...
I thought Bill's mother lived on the hill.
Oh, but that's like some long-time listeners might remember one of my favourite episodes was when you talked about the Sarah, hairstyle.
Yes.
That was, you assumed, a universal one.
Yes, of course.
Just something based on that girl called Sarah at your school.
Exactly right.
But your mum still calls it Sarah.
And mum still calls it Sarah, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, my time for reading out? my time, read it out. Dear Susie and Tom, long time listener, first time emailer. My name is Martha, and I wanted to write in because I just attended Susie's book event in Manchester, brackets clang, in capitals, and had the most amazing time. Susie, as someone who has struggled with anxiety for a long time, I really admire when people I look up to open up about their own experiences with mental health. I started listening to the pod when I was about 16, gosh, and it has provided me with great comfort over the years. Now, at my old age of 22, I'm so excited to read Susie's new book, which will hopefully help me feel a little less alone in my struggles. Classic me, after leaving the book event, I replayed the moment I met Susie over and over when she so kindly signed my book, and suddenly worried I might have made a fool of myself in front of someone I've admired for so long. Since then, I've told my brain to shush and held on to the fact that Susie complimented my glasses as she signed my book. And I was able to tell her I'm a massive fan of the pod. All this to say, I'll definitely be treasuring that brief little moment for a long time. Can't wait to read the book, Susie. I'm almost certain it's going to solve all my life's problems. Ha ha. I think that was included in the price of the book. Smiley emoji. P.S. I'm a huge fan of you too, Tom. Like my friends would be nothing without your humor and your ability to make even the most mundane things sound interesting. A generous thing to say. I think love to you both. Bye, 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 bye. Martha, kiss, kiss, kiss. Martha. Now, how lovely of them to share that moment. Did you have a nice time at the signing with the men?
I've had
unions?
A really nice time. Yes, it was lovely. John Richardson interviewed me, which was very kind of him.
Oh.
I love John. Choice. He's... Yeah. I'm sometimes think I might be in love with John Richardson.
Wow.
But I'm definitely gay and I'm very happy with my wife. But I just think he is so funny and such a great guy. He's just such a lovely guy.
Very nice.
Much time for him.
Exactly as he seems as well. Exactly
as he
seems.
Exactly that guy. Yeah, he's great.
And very, like, I like the way he is. I think he would say eccentric. I like the way he embraces that so openly.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. No, I've had a lovely time and never worry about feeling silly in front of me because I feel like that all of the time.
Yes.
Sorry. But yeah, it's been very lovely. Tom, we've been on here for half an hour.
Oh, Suze, well, there's been a lot to talk about. I'm so pleased that that book week went well, Suze.
Thank you so much.
And people who are just hearing about the book for the first time or thinking, oh, I must get myself a copy for my forthcoming holiday or maybe half term or whatever.
Whatever you like.
Whatever you like. Then they can get it from all good bookshops, can't they?
Yes. There's also an audio version, which is on Audible. And
this audio production.
Yes, exactly. And that one includes bonus interviews with...
Bonus interviews. Oh.
Boner interviews. Bonus interviews with Tom Allen. Maisie Adam.
Wow.
Rosie Jones. Ramesh Ranganathan and let's be honest, the biggest draw, my mum.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
There is a very funny moment where I said to my mum, Mum, what would you say to someone whose child had just come out? She'd say, I'd say, do you know what? It's not that bad. And I kept it in because I thought, if she means it in such a beautiful way that like it was, it really made me laugh. It's just like the honesty of it. It's not that bad.
Mum. You're lovely, mum. Oh, oh, she's so lovely. Well, how great as well. How great. Well, I know it's just going to snowball from here with the book. So everyone will be wanting to read it. And I'm sure it'll be a calming balm. A balm.
Balm. Well, if I don't see through the window, I'll see through the week.
You bet, Susie Ruffle. You bet. Can't wait to catch up more. And we'll speak later. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye for now. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.